Good morning. If I have not had the honor of meeting you, my name is Alicia Garvin, and I have the honor and privilege of serving you here at St. Andrew as your congregational care pastor, and it has absolutely been a joy. I have preached in other services here. This is my first time preaching in the 9:30 traditional, so I might have had a small panic attack, but it's fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be so good. I remember interviewing to be here and praying for this job and praying to serve here. And I just knew the Lord had wanted me here. And I look back and I remember the journey from us coming and sitting with the pastoral staff and some of the board members and going back to Katy, Texas, and packing and getting the kids packed up. And it was so hard, but it was so great. And when I remember that, it just makes me more grateful to be here. I just have a posture of gratitude when I remember how the Lord brought us through and let us have the honor of being here in Plano at St. Andrew. And when I was studying for Psalm 118, I'm reminded that remembering, it's so important to our faith as a whole. Remembering, if you look in the original languages, some variation of the word remember is mentioned about 250 times. So it's quite important. If you look at the NRSV, which I'll be reading from today, it's about over 215 times, some variation of the word remember. And so it's so important to our faith, and I really want to focus on that. And Psalm 118 is long, and so I might rush through some parts. It's not to be irreverent, but it's just so that we can focus on a certain rhetorical force that I think Psalm 118 is throwing at us. And its reflection on the past results into theological confession. So when you think about how the Lord has brought you through certain circumstances, certain trials, certain situations, what should erupt from your soul is a theological confession, a certain type of praise. And that's what we're going to focus on when we talk about Psalm 118. So let's go before the Lord and pray, and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Move up and down these aisles. Speak to us that we may not leave here the same, but be transformed by your word. Give us revelation and that we may share with others how we have been changed today. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's look at Psalm 118. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." So that word, give thanks. Now, I wouldn't throw Greek and Hebrew at you unless I felt it was so important. You can totally read the Bible in your native language and walk the road of sanctification and be perfectly okay and know it very well. But reading it in knowing certain words in Greek and Hebrew in its original language, it's like reading it in HD. Remember we used to watch TV without the HD? Y'all remember that? And it was okay. You got the picture. You saw the program. But now that we have HD, we can see things a little bit more clear. We see certain things that are more pronounced. And now if I showed you a TV program without HD, you'd probably be like, ugh. Give me back the HD. And so if it helps us clarify a few things, I will throw a little Greek and Hebrew at you. And in this case, I think it's important. So that give thanks, that word is yada. And there's other words in Hebrew for that express giving thanks, like hodu and toda, which is like a thanksgiving or get thanks offering. But yada is something a little different. It's more than a posture of thankfulness. What the psalmist here is talking about is more of a confession, an acclamation. It's a profession. It's that of praise. So it is actually a posture of thanksgiving, but more so of praise. And so it's giving testimony to God's goodness and his faithful love. And if we go to, so it's verse 2, verse 4, let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. And it repeats that. So there's an emphasis there on God's steadfast love. Again, that steadfast love is hesed. That Hebrew word is hesed. And it's a covenantal love. So it's more than, as Kim said in her sermon yesterday and Saturday, it's more than me just how I love my husband or different how I love my children, although I love them with my whole heart. That hesed, that steadfast love, it's a covenantal love. It is such a faithful and loyal love that God has, and it endures forever. Now, the theological thrust that I really want to look at, it starts in verse 5, and it says, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So this is important here. And so when we look at distress, and this is kind of what I'm focusing this sermon on, it's something that the psalmist is trying to communicate. It's not just, oh, I fell and broke my leg, or I have a cold today. This distress, this word is actually conveying something constricting. It's something almost like claustrophobia. It's this part, and later on in this psalm, you see that he describes about three times, I'm surrounded. And so this person is compressed. And then you see that the answer, this says, Lord, answer me, and the answer is a broad place. It is a widening. And so the Lord answering comes forth, and it's whatever that was constricting or compressing became wide. And the Lord reminds us that we're not alone, that he is with us, he is on our side. And so the things that we go through, we don't have to do it alone. Now here is where it gets really good to me. It's all good, but it gets really, really good. So verses 10 through 14, we see, he says, all nations are surrounding me. Again, this is that constricting. And it's in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. And so surrounding, this, that word surrounding, it's there like four times. So there's an emphasis on this trial, on this circumstance that the psalmist is trying to stress to us. He's going through something terrible. And then the name of the Lord cuts it off. And he says this multiple times, the name of the Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 30, I'm going to read it to you actually, because I think it's important that we understand the power of the name of the Lord. It says, see the name of the Lord. This is Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. See, the name of the Lord comes from far, burning with his anger in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of indignation and his tongue is like a devouring fire. This is the name of the Lord. It is powerful. It is fire. It is all-consuming. It can wipe away the enemies, but it also can keep us safe. It is the name of the Lord, Hashem. And it is there where it says, the Lord, help me. And here's the good part. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Ah, there it is. There's the reflection. There's the remembrance. This is a direct quote from Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. It is the song of Moses. It is reflecting on the time where the Israelites were in slavery for 430 years. Exodus chapter 12, I believe, says they were in slavery for 430 years. And David, or whoever the psalmist was, we credit it to David. He's saying, remember when we were in slavery. And the Lord came and rescued us. And reflecting on the Lord, it helps us to remember his goodness. It helps us to persevere through the hard times and the trials. And moreover, it builds our faith so that other people who are watching us go through hard times and constricting times and times when we feel surrounded, people are watching and saying, how are you going to handle this? Because we can talk Christ all day, but the way we walk this walk is important. And that's what speaks to people who are nominal believers or who don't believe. The way you handle adversity speaks more loudly than I could from a pulpit. And so they're watching, and they're watching how your faith is increased and how you're remembering the time where you've been in the low valley and you've walked through this valley of the shadow of death. And you're like, Lord, I remember you brought me out back then. You'll bring me out again. And people will ask you, how'd you get through that? And what an opportunity for you to say, well, God did it before. And he'll do it again. Let me tell you more about my Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, mountaintops are awesome. You're up there, you see everything, the breeze is going through your hair, and you feel like somebody. But the low valley, that's where things grow. That's where the soil is tilled and is rich, and the fruits of the Spirit are grown in the low valley. You can pray for patience, and God doesn't just sprinkle it on you like some seasoning. Patience is developed through the hard times. In fact, if you pray for patience, you know that's a hard prayer because you know it's about to go down. You're about to really learn what patience is. It's the low valley, right? And I understand some of you are saying, well, my memories aren't that great. I get that. I totally understand that. When I came here, I shared with the women. So I got here in December. I shared at the table, the seminar, in January, kind of the way I grew up. When I, you know, from age whatever to about 14, life was pretty hard. And not all my memories are good. In fact, my worst memory, my dad, he had a hard time with depression. And he medicated with substances. He was a drug addict. And one of the worst memories I have is just a night where just violence erupted in my house. And my mom was a school teacher at the school we went to. And she had to go to work that day. We had to go to school that day. We put on our little masks to make sure everyone believed everything was fine in our house. And my mom, for some reason, struggled that day. She couldn't wear that mask. And her good friend at that school, she just had to pour her heart out. And she had to tell about what she went through that evening with my dad. And that friend turned around and told the administration, and instead of helping us, she was fired. Yes, and we weren't the kind of family they wanted represented at their Christian school. So imagine what this memory taught me. What came out this memory was the people of God can't be trusted. You have to wear a mask and pretend. And so when I taught at the table, I said, you know, Lord, if I'm supposed to be here, they have to know me. They have to know that I'm a girl that is emotionally from the trenches. I have been there, and I want them to know me. And if they turn me away, then I know it's not for me. And so I shared at the table. I told the ladies, don't tell my mom, because she doesn't know yet. She'll be here in a few weeks. Just pretend like this didn't happen. I'll tell her one day. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. But I shared with the table, and I tell you, I received hugs, emails. I'm glad that you're here. And one lady came to me and said, oh my goodness, I feel free to share my testimony. And that healed me. That freed me from that memory. And then I was able to go back and say, oh my goodness, this wasn't about me. This was for your people. This was to help not just free me, but for your people. And that's how St. Andrew has helped me with that wound. I came here with an open wound, but y'all helped that wound heal. That I can share and think, oh, Lord, I see you now in that memory. I see how you moved us. I see it now. Healing is found in surrender. And the things that we fear will break us, God can transform that to build us. It's called character. And sometimes I'm guilty of this. I shield my children a little bit too much because I don't want them to go through certain things. But I forget that going through things produces godly character because the fruits of the Spirit grow. And what grows is a reflection. It is a reflection of godly confession, who God is. And so we look at 2 Corinthians. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our bodies, so that other people can see how we have handled the low valley. The things you face in the low valley has to face God too. You're not alone. You're not alone. And so what is our response in our reflection? How do we respond when we think about the things that we've gone through? When we think about how the Lord has brought us through? Our response and our reflection, our theological confession, comes from verse 21 in Psalm 118. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. For his steadfast love endures forever. That's our confession. That is what we say in the low valley. And when we get out the low valley, we say it again. And we thank God for the spiritual gifts that were developed in those valleys. We look back and we praise him. We look back and we thank him. Like he delivered the Israelites, he's delivering us from our own constricting and confining situations. And our praise is, thank you, Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. We get to look back today as we partake in the table. We look back at what the Lord has done for us on the cross, because we know that our story should have ended differently. But instead, we get to sit here as saved. We are reconciled to the Father because of the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and transferring us into the kingdom of light. We remember, Lord. We remember.